There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Wednesday. Glad you're here. Heck, it's the second hour of the show on a Wednesday. It's almost like Friday, kind of. You know, it's if tomorrow is Friday Eve, this is Friday Eve Eve. We're looking at it that way. So many questions coming in last hour as we're playing clips of the press conference from earlier with Executive Director of the Mobile Airport Authority, Chris Curry. Even better than listen to the presser like we did last hour is having the man in studio to answer our questions. Chris Curry, thanks for being in here.
Thank you.
It's been a heck of a Wednesday. You've been busy.
It has.
The feasibility study, and I'm looking through the feasibility study, this is something you don't produce, that's not produced overnight. The group that did this, this takes time.
It does, and the study took about 120 days. We hire a firm called VHB that's based out of Orlando, and it was important to us to hire a firm to some degree that had no prior experience in the Mobile area.
Okay.
That way, you know, not that others could not have done the job, but I think it seems more credible to have someone with no exposure to the region.
Who's looking at it fresh, or let's use an aircraft, from the 30,000-foot view where they're just looking at it. And so what do they come back with here? They break it down. I'm looking through this. It's broken down in lots of different things, geographically, how people feel, how traffic flows, right? These kind of things?
Yes, a lot of components associated with it. And this group, VHB, has done similar work in and around the Chicago area. But part of the study included interviews with major stakeholders, chambers of commerce, Visit Tallahassee, and other major businesses in Mobile and on the Eastern Shore to gauge their level of interest, their concerns, if any, associated with making Brooklyn a commercial service airport.
Right. And that, there, it's going to be interesting, you know, looking through this, having a wide scope of opinions, because you can find, you know, certain groups or any project you and I could come up with. There can be certain groups that are really, really for it and a certain group that's really, really against it. But the truth often lies in the middle. What those people think.
You're right. And that's why we decided to go out and get a professional company to conduct this study, because there were so many different opinions out there of whether we should or whether we should not, that that was the best way to approach it.
A feasibility study, help us understand this. A feasibility study says what? It says that it's a, does it say just it's feasible by definition, possible, or does it say, does it grade it as a good idea? I mean, when you get a feasibility study, does it tell you that? Does it say, yes, do this, or just says it's possible?
The feasibility study says it's possible. Okay. What the study does is provide you with all of the information that could be considered.
Okay.
It does not tell you whether you should or should not. It tells you whether it's feasible.
And then it's upon the person who gets a report and the groups to make that decision.
That's correct.
All right. And if people have not been following this, for which this discussion's gone on quite a long time, even before you came to join us here in Mobile, about moving, the idea would be to, would it be to shutter the regional airport and move everything to Brooklyn, like have the move-in van show up? Or how do, Chris, what does this look like? If this would happen, if you decided to go forward with this, what does that look like?
Well, the Mobile Airport Authority owns and operates both airports.
Okay.
And we intend to keep both of them as airports.
Okay.
We're looking at a role reversal.
Okay.
So we would bring the commercial service to Brooklyn, and perhaps Mobile would serve more as a general aviation airport, training airport for the Coast Guard and other military units that may come into the community. Again, that's part of a plan, but at the same time, if we had a carrier that came in and wanted to do cargo, we would be open to that as well. We're open to anything that provides a significant economic benefit to the people of this region.
Okay. If we, and I want to get into the details here, but let's say we did that, that role reversal. So we change out kind of the highest best use of Berkeley and the highest best use of the current Mobile Airport. If we flip those around, would the, do you believe the total volume of planes, number of planes in and out of the city would increase, or would it just swap where they go? I mean, is it just a, you know, move all these folks over there and these folks come out here, or does it, is it, are the two greater than the, you know, is the sum greater than the two?
Well, I think the volume into Brooklyn would increase some. And again, that depends on the level of service,
right,
and the number of airlines that would want to start commercial service at Brooklyn.
But I heard you in the press conference today. There are carriers, your discussions, people that would be interested. You said, like, I think those people were, it was a no-go for here at the regional airport, Adolf Airport Boulevard. But if Brooklyn was in play, it would be a go.
That's correct. When you talk to the airlines, and we meet with them about four times a year, the low-cost carriers have no interest in Mobile because Mobile's airport is too difficult to get to. The people that live in Mobile and live on the Eastern Shore, they would rather go to Pensacola or New Orleans as opposed to going to regional airport.
Right.
And that's because of accessibility and also low fares.
Right. Well, and I think about, so many people talk about going to Pensacola fare-based. It seems like, you know, that's the discussion. I can save this or that. They go to New Orleans, I hear, fare-based and also connection options. Because out of Mobile, we are, if you're going to connect somewhere, often you're going through Atlanta, right, with Delta. I guess, you know, people say, well, I want to do this, but I want to go a different way. They go to another airport to for more options, like you said, which often means connections and faster flights to wherever they're going.
Well, you know, we live in a world of wanting everything as soon as possible.
Well, of course we do.
and the advantage for New Orleans is that they serve 57 cities nonstop.
Right.
So no connections involved, straight shot from one city to another, which is appealing. Plus, they have low fares.
Yeah. So they do both. So they do have the low fares, like, because I know Pensacola's draw has been the low fares, but yeah, New Orleans has those options. Okay. So if those low-cost carriers talk to you and they say, we don't want to go in where it is now, but if it was Brooklyn, do they give you an idea? Do they say, we'd fly one flight a day out there, two flights a day? Do they ever talk like that or tell you how many flights that they might bring in based on a move of the airport?
Well, they do, and that's followed by how soon will Brooklyn be open?
Really, they're ready to go.
There are some that has expressed a great interest in Brooklyn.
All right, so let's talk about this process. Once again, it's a feasibility study. It's in its infancy. We're at the genesis now of this. But if the move would happen, just in, and I don't know what, because you operate both facilities, but just infrastructure-wise, now obviously robust infrastructure for landing planes at Brooklyn, but for getting people on and off of planes and getting their bags and, you know, getting a sandwich and a drink and stuff, how long does that take at Brooklyn?
Well, what we're looking at for Brooklyn is renovating a building for a low-cost carrier.
Okay.
The requirements of low-cost carriers are significantly different than for the legacy carriers like Delta, United, and American. So we feel like we can retrofit a building, put very little infrastructure in the building, and provide loading and offloading through air stairs.
Okay.
The low-cost carriers love that type of operation because the more the airport spends to develop a terminal, the more costs are passed on to the low-cost carriers.
In gate fees and all that?
Right. So yeah, they just want the minimum requirements so that they can operate out of the airport and keep the fares low.
Okay. We're going to talk about what that looks like and also what kind of changes we could see and timelines. You know, people like me, we're always going to say, hey, what's the timeline on this? So we'll grab y'all's questions from the text line and on Twitter. You can also hop on the line now at 343-0106. You got questions about this? Well, we have the man in here who can answer them. Chris Curry, Executive Director of the Mobile Airport Authority, our guest right here on Midday Mobile. Coming right back.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And good time to get those questions answered. I think I've asked, I don't know, 15 or 20 during the break of Chris Curry, Executive Director with the Mobile Airport Authority. I'm going to run through some of these questions here from the text line and on the Twitter feed. A lot of these, I'll tell you what, I'll package them up into you know, a big group of questions here. Number one, flight paths. People are asking me about the flight paths for Brooklyn. Where would they be? Would there be any changes?
Starting commercial service at Brooklyn would not affect the flight paths. The flight paths that are used today for the airlines that land and depart Brooklyn will stay the same.
Okay. Obviously, volume would increase, though, if there's more people going through, right?
Yeah, the volume would increase a little bit, but, you know, the flight paths and designs thereof, that falls under the purview of the Federal Aviation Administration.
What about somebody's any chance of getting international flights? Cozumel, Acapulco. Would that change with Brooklyn? I mean, will we become an international?
Well, let me say this. I believe that the future of Brooklyn is at some point in time to be an international airport. It may not start off with the passenger aspect of it, but it may start with the general aviation and corporate jet users.
Okay.
Keep in mind that of the 70 tenants that we have on the airport, 19 are international businesses, and those businesses benefit from direct flights that can come in from international locations without having to stop at another port of entry.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That, you know, they like to have planes full coming and going. So if they had these additional customers already built in, that's a good thing. This texture says, how are airline ticket prices determined? For instance, many times Biloxi is cheaper than Mobile, but further to Atlanta, does Airport Authority charge different types of fees to carriers that may have an impact on ticket prices?
Well, that's a very good and complicated question.
That's what we do around here, right?
The way that airlines price their tickets are different between all airlines. Airports do charge different fees, but there's no correlation between the fees that the airport charge and the amount of the ticket prices. As we talked about before we got on air, competition is a big factor in determining what those charges will be.
Right.
So the other factor that's involved is the amount of capacity in your market and what's going on in a market. So if Mobile is having some big event that a lot of people are flying in on air travel, then the ticket prices are going to be extremely high in Mobile, maybe very low in Pensacola. But again, if most of the capacity in Pensacola is used up, their cost or their ticket price will be very high, and Mobile may be very low.
Right.
So it all depends, but there's no logical
right. But there's
system
this system, right? I mean, I've often said it's a little bit like commercials on a radio station. You know, the more there are, the more that there are available, the better the price is. The fewer available, the higher the price.
Supply and demand.
That's right. Let's see. Will this move lower our rates? This is the real reason we all drive to Pensacola. You said it. I mean, it's rate-based for most folks.
And I agree. We have to bring competition into the market. If we could bring competition into Mobile Regional, we certainly would have. But since there's no interest, we can bring competition into Brooklyn and also affect the ticket prices in Mobile by the legacy carriers.
All right, I'm going to have you grab those headphones so we can go to the telephones. And first, Gary in Mobile, you're on with Chris Curry. Hey, Gary.
Hi, Sean. Hey. Yeah, my question was two parts, and it was revolving exactly around that, ticket fares. What assurance, if any, does the feasibility study suggest would decrease or lower the fares out of Brooklyn versus West Mobile? Because when I travel, the average is, you know, I get on Kayak, I shop it, Gulfport, Biloxi Airport, Pensacola, and Mobile. And the average is those other two are $60 to $75 cheaper than Mobile.
So do you think that...
Routinely. So someone, I understand that the airlines, you know, from what I've understood, have to pay more gate fees in Mobile because there's less competition. But if they move to Brooklyn, what assurance is there that those fares would go down, or would they stay the same as they are now?
A fair question. Chris, Gary's got that, his concern about what I think we all are, the bottom line, that $60, $70 extra per ticket.
Yeah, the feasibility study does not provide any assurances. However, if you look at airports across the United States, the airports that have the best prices are airports that also have low-cost carriers in the market. And so with the conversations we've had with low-cost carriers, if we can bring them into Mobile, whether it's regional airport or Brooklyn, we're hopeful that that competition would then reduce the cost of tickets throughout our entire region.
I don't know if this is, I'll just ask the question from the text line. I don't know how specific we can get. What is it going to take for Mobile to attract Southwest Airlines? It seems like the cities around us, including Pensacola, have the lock on Southwest. By far the best airline flying today, in my opinion, from that texter. So can you divulge anything?
Well, I'm not so sure they're the best airline flying today.
This is a person's opinion. There's a lot of people who don't
like
it.
Well, I'm saying in my opinion.
Yeah.
Southwest at one point was a low-cost carrier, and now they've grown up, and so their fares are very similar to the legacy carriers. Don't get me wrong, we would love to have Southwest in the market, but I don't think Southwest in the market will impact the fare structure like we're looking to do, like other low-cost carriers would.
All right, let's go to the phones here and go to Thomas in Theodore. Thomas, you're on with Chris Curry.
Well, thank you, Sean. Good afternoon, Chris. Just real quickly, I've been following this for 20, 30 years, and it's come up that Delta has left and then come back, and it has been because they say that what you charge the airlines to site here is astronomical. And these rates that you charge these airlines is way too high. And I'm wondering if the big carriers are going to be attracted, or if you're just setting this up for this one low-cost airline that you're talking about. Thank you.
All right, Thomas, thank you. Chris, what do you think?
Well, the airlines always have an opinion that may be different from the airport. One of the things that I want to mention is the reason that Mobile has such a high price structure certainly is because no low-cost carriers in the market. At the same time, the Mobile area is a business-centric market. So there's a certain behavior exhibited by business communities. For example, most people that travel business are not paying for the ticket, so they're not so sensitive to the price.
Isn't it funny like that? Isn't it a funny habit there? That's true.
And the other part is that when a business traveler has to travel, they don't have the luxury of determining whether they go on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Right.
They need to go. And so I believe the airlines understand the psychology of the market and price accordingly. That's why one of the things that I've talked about with Visit Mobile and other tourism places in this region is that we must do a much better job promoting the leisure aspect of Mobile, because this is a great leisure market that no one knows about outside of people that generally drive here. And so if we promote the leisure aspect of those airports, we will become even more attractive to the low-cost carriers and, in essence, drive the price down. Last but not least, if you follow the airlines and you follow fuel costs, for example, one would think that when fuel costs drop, that the airline tickets would drop.
Well, that's what they taught us in econ class, right, Chris? I mean,
but it doesn't.
Right.
So how's
that work out?
Well, I'm just saying, when the airlines say that it's because of the fees charged by the airport, I think if you look at the model of fuel decreasing or increasing in price, why does that not affect the price of the airline ticket?
pretty interesting. I've never understood that one either. You know, and I'll tell you what, we have time for, I'm going to make a, you know, grab one more call quickly here, and then we'll go to the break and come back and take some more. Tara is in Mobile. Hey, Tara.
Hey, good morning. I'm not pro or con so far on any of this, although I have to admit I did work for the FAA for a little bit. I'm not that expert, okay? But it was great. It helped put me through college. My question is regarding the larger picture. We hear a bunch of griping, I'm putting that nicely, and moaning. You know, we even have commercials talking about traveling, la 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 la, you know. How is that going to affect our ground level transportation?
Okay, well, I think that's a fair question. Let's do this. Let's hold that till after the news break, because you have a stack of questions about the effects of if you flipped them around and made the main airport at Brooklee. What does that mean for traffic, Chris? You know, people, we're all worried about, what does that mean for I-10 is what they're getting at. We'll get to that when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135, FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad you're here. Good to have Chris Curry in the studio answering about 1,000 questions an hour coming in right now to the studio, and that's a good thing. It's not, you know, you're the person that knows these things. You know, people sit around and ask each other at the dinner table or ride down the road and go, why is it that such and such? And so it's a real treat to have you here. I know Tara said before the break she was asking about what the traffic in the air might do to the traffic on the surface, on the ground, and about getting in and out of flipping that, more traffic going into Brooklee. What does that mean? Any plans, anything in the feasibility for traffic in and out of an airport and what that means to an I-10 east or westbound?
Well, the feasibility study did not directly deal with the issue of traffic on Interstate 10. The only item addressed in the feasibility study was how the build of the Mobile River Bridge would affect traffic from the Eastern Shore and how accessible that Brooklee would be when that bridge is built.
So that's part of the thought process here of getting more people into an airport facility there, that bridge.
That's correct. So we know that moving the commercial service from regional to Brooklee will get us closer to another 140,000 people as opposed to where regional is today.
And those are the maps you showed that they're in this feasibility study, showing these areas where you can draw from, right, and how you figure out where the people will come from to the airport.
Yes.
Johnny asked, he said, if commercial flight in and out of Brooklee would affect the route/height of the future Mobile River Bridge.
Well, the flight paths are already in place and the airspace is already designed for Brooklee because of aircraft that depart and arrive at Brooklee today. As part of the design for the new bridge must consider the airspace around it as it pertains to the height of the bridge. So that's a process that the engineers will submit to the FAA to determine whether or not the height affects the flight path or has any effect on the airspace.
Okay. This one here, would a commercial airport at Brooklee and the future Mobile River Bridge be fighting, in quotes here, fighting for the same Department of Transportation money? Would these two things be... with these, are the, you know, where if you got federal money, do they come from the same buckets?
The money that the FAA uses to build the airport and for capital projects come from the FAA, and that's generally funded at 90%. So there's no competition between the money needed for the bridge and the airport.
This one here, is this going to affect Continental Motors' new lease or new facilities?
Commercial service at Brooklee has no effect on the Continental Motors lease.
All right. Bobby asked this question. Says, so we know people will drive an hour away to get a cheaper ticket. I guess he's referencing Pensacola here we're talking about. He said, we know people will drive an hour away to get a cheaper ticket, but they won't drive to the current airport because it takes longer to get there. But what if tickets are cheaper? So logic makes a little sense. But if people will go to Brooklee, if there's a low-cost carrier, why wouldn't they go to Bates?
Well, the problem with Mobile Regional Airport is that there's no desire by lower-cost carriers to operate from there. Therefore, there's no motivation for Delta, American, or United to ever lower the ticket prices. The only chance of creating competition for us in the market is to establish Brooklee as a commercial airport, because we can increase competition by bringing low-cost carriers to Brooklee.
Let's see. So many coming in here. Okay. This texture, Jay says, how tough is it for Mobile Regional? I live 5 minutes away from it. The wife and I are going to be in New York for the weekend, and we're leaving from Gulfport. Didn't even bother looking at Mobile. Now, Chris, that's tough when you develop a habit of not even checking.
Well, it is, but it's also a mistake sometimes, because Mobile Regional at times will have fares that is much cheaper than Pensacola or Gulfport.
But you know what happens? I mean, people build up an idea. You know, and you're right, you got to go back and check. But I what Jason's saying, I think a lot of people do, you've been burned so many times, you check, heck with it, I'm not checking it anymore. You know, and so you're going to have to undo, there's going to have to be habits undone.
Well, I think so. But, you know, certainly as a customer, we have all sorts of tools at our disposal now to determine economical airfare. And so I think to discard any airport, whether it's Pensacola, Mobile, or Regional, or Gulfport, you're probably doing yourself a disservice, because at any point in time, any airport can have fares that are lower than the others.
You mentioned about fuel cost dropping and carriers not dropping their ticket price. But a lot of people have asked other questions here, and I'm going to try to Frankenstein them into one question here. But they said the price of fuel affects ticket price, but that still doesn't answer the question, or doesn't answer the reason why there can be a $200 difference from a flight from Mobile compared to New Orleans to LAX, for example. So, because I got to see what that, generally these people asking the same kind of question, that if fuel costs are down, they're down for the company, the airline, over wherever they're fueling up jet fuel, right? I mean, it's true, yeah. If they're fueling up at Louis Armstrong or at Bates or Hartsfield or wherever.
Yeah, let me see if I can kind of wrap my hands around it.
Can you make it for me? Can you speak? Yeah. Give a Sullivanese version of it.
Because I did mention earlier that the price of fuel does not always have an effect on the price of tickets.
Right.
One thing that is known in the industry is that it is less expensive to operate a larger aircraft than a 50-seat regional jet.
Economy of scale kind of thing?
That's right. Yeah, when you split out those costs, you're dividing it among 50 people versus 180 or whatever size the aircraft is. So typically, prices are lower per person the larger the aircraft is in the market.
Makes sense. This one, yeah, I thought about this question as well. So Texter, great text. What will happen to the existing structure and terminal at Mobile Regional once the airlines move to Brooklee Field?
And I think the use of the facility will be determined at a later point in time. But again, as mentioned earlier, it is our intent to keep both airports operational.
But would there be, you know, that there's a pretty good sized structure there, right? I mean, you pull up, you've got where the ticket counters are, the escalators up, the TSA clearing, all the gates down there. Would you picture in this situation that you go and you start making this move to Brooklee and you have these low-cost carriers in there, but you still have out at Bates some mix of legacy and low-cost, or do you think there's a day that everybody just goes down to Brooklee?
I think there's a day that everybody goes to Brooklee.
Okay.
Now, that may take a couple years. You know, I can sit here and tell you or give you a plan, but chances are it will never come to fruition.
Right.
Simply because our job as the authority is to make the environment as appealing as possible to attract any and every kind of business interest. So I can sit here and say, you know, that we're going to run commercial service there for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, a cargo carrier that has a large operation say, we would love to be at Regional. Then guess what? Regional becomes a cargo carrying airport.
Gotcha.
Or we may have a company like Amazon or Uber that's looking to operate their own aircraft.
Right.
And they may come to the airport and say, hey, you know, we can set up our offices in the terminal building and we can operate our own aircraft out of Mobile. And if that's the case, I'm sure the authority would be agreeable to it.
Yeah, imagine. Yeah, and you're right. We don't know, you know, what is common sense today. In 5 years, we might say how foolish we were to think, you know, that way back then. Okay. Well, we'll go to the break in a second. I want to get a couple more of these texts in here, too. This one says, I fly probably every other month. For me, even if Mobile is $100 higher, it's cheaper for me to fly Mobile simply from the time of not having to drive and flying out west. Mobile Airport is generally higher. That's from Matthew. So, I mean, there's the other cost, too. I mean, yeah. You look, and we all do it. The caller earlier, I think, was Gary was talking about going to Kayak or those sites, right? We're all shopping fares. But then, yeah, there is a thing about gas to get there, parking, those kind of things.
Well, in Tallahassee, we had a cost calculator on the website. So you could put in the neighboring airports, and it would tell you how much it really costs you to travel there. Now, the only way that worked is if you valued your time.
Right. True.
So if you have a value on your time and you put it into the cost calculator, it will tell you the true cost of traveling to another airport.
But there are, and I think Matthew brings up a good point. I mean, but it's that formula for Matthew is one thing. It'd be different for Chris, different for Sean, different for Jason. You know, it depends on where you, it depends on like where you live. If you're looking at Brooklyn, you're looking at Bates, you're making a decision. Where are you coming from? How long does it take to get there? You know, you could be parking a car, you could be.
And how many people are traveling? See, that makes a big difference as well, because that $100 or $150 for an individual,
mm-hmm.
if you're a family of four, that $150 becomes
$600. True. As I've learned over the years, as I now try to get a family of four to travel places in the U.S., the days of just worrying about what it costs for my ticket are gone. Yeah, I got to figure out the value price, the volume price. Coming right back, more with Chris Curry, and your chance to get a question answered at 343-0106, 343-0106. Feasibility, it's feasible. Now, should we do it?
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. I don't know. This is like the busiest Wednesday ever for Chris Curry. You've been going quite a while on this, although y'all have been working on this project. This feasibility study has been out for 100-something days or something, working on
120
this?
120 days.
And by your press conference today and what you said with us today as well, this is, to use the term, feasible to move the airport. It's feasible.
That's correct.
That doesn't mean it means it's feasible. Now we have to decide, do we do it?
Yes.
As people, you know, I'm looking through this feasibility study and the group that did this, the VHB, they talked to a lot of people. You said stakeholders, different folks here. Getting opinions on this is obviously important because these are, I mean, you've got, two sets of customers. You've got the airlines, right, that you have to attract into an airport that Mobile Airport Authority runs. And then you got to get us, the people, to come get on those airplanes.
And the major stakeholders located on the airport.
You got us like herding cats.
This is a transformational project.
Timelines. If let's say the consensus is, yeah, it's feasible, and yes, we want to do it. When do we see the next carrier? Because we already have, of course, one flying out of Brooklyn. When do we see two, three, four?
Well, I can tell you what I know. So Via Air right now is flying out of regional. But as soon as we get a terminal facility that they can use at Brooklyn, they'll start at Brooklyn.
Right, because they said that's what they want to do,
yeah,
right?
We expect that to be spring of next year.
Okay.
The next step for us is to have the board accept the study,
mm-hmm.
and probably in the next 90 days or so, we'll start the master planning process, which will take anywhere from a year to year and a half.
And the master plan will be real concrete things like traffic counts and concrete and those kind of things, right? It'll these questions some people are asking, so, well, what will this terminal look like? that Chris talked about, or that comes out in the master plan?
Yeah, what they would do is they would evaluate our existing facilities, and they would plan on future facilities based on forecasts.
Okay.
So if we met certain thresholds as far as employments, for example, you know, if we start in the first year and they said, we expect you to do 100,000 employments, but once you get to 400,000 employments, that requires different infrastructure. That may require different gates for the terminal, may require you to go from a 2 to a 4-lane road to access the terminal.
Okay.
The environmental impacts associated with noise, any other land that you may need in order to increase the footprint if your forecasts meet certain levels as approved by the FAA.
Kind of like build or pay as you go kind of project, that when you get to this forecast level, you got to be ready for this and then the next level and the next level. Okay, one last question for you, because I got a couple texts about this. What about the proximity of rail and what will happen with it? Well, I don't think Chris could answer whether the governor is going to sign off on rail, but what about the proximity of rail and the cruise ship?
Well, I think rail and the cruise ships are important. Certainly, there's a correlation between rail and air service. It is possible that if they start rail service, that we would provide some kind of connectivity from the terminal to rail and rail to the terminal.
Okay.
For the cruise ships, it's important that we understand their schedule, because as we're talking to low-cost carriers, we could become a fly-in market for the cruise lines as opposed to a drive-in market. So we are aware of everything that's going on around us from a transportation perspective.
And that's something that you could concrete. You could go to those airlines, I'm sure, and I don't know how much they share of information from Carnival, but you have a general idea how many people sailed out of Mobile in a given year, right? And you could say, and they were from, you know, 30% from outside the driving area or something, or whatever the number would be, and then you'd say, hey, y'all, if you want some of that business, here it is.
And I think you'll see within the report that one of the interviews was with Carnival Cruise Lines.
And that means pretty good. Will they share numbers and give you an idea of what that would mean?
Well, not exactly, because they haven't had adequate time to evaluate it.
Okay.
But again, you have created a relationship
right
between that cruise line and a possible air carrier coming into the market.
All right. Well, this is. I have a feeling I'm going to be ringing your phone, Chris, a lot more here in the future talking about this and as we go forward. Thanks for being in with us today. Thank you for all the information.
Yeah, if you need me again, just give me a call and schedule, and I'll spend as much time as you need.
Very good. Chris Curry, Executive Director of the Mobile Airport Authority, joining us right here on Midday Mobile. All right, we can grab a couple other calls here. I know you got a roll. We'll grab your calls and do that at 343-0106. And text as well. And by the way, too, somebody was asking, the box is now in Baldwin County. Somebody was asking about the Summer Better Than Others prize giveaway, and it is now at Old Time Feed in Fairhope. So if you didn't get registered in Mobile, your chance to register there today. And let's see. Okay, let's see. This is a lot of people supported. John says moving the airport would be the best move we could ever make. Let's do it. John with an airplane emoji. I wish I had that emoji. I don't think I have that on the Android. Let's talk about the I can't hold it. Somebody's asking, it's going to take so long to get the bridge project done. What about the what does that mean for the airport? Yeah, I can't. I tell you, Jerry, what I think is the airport will be done long before that. The airport will, if this move happens, I think this will happen much more quickly. Would that make a difference for you? I mean, I think if you're on the Eastern Shore, it's got to, right? If you had a choice, if you're, you know, you live in Daphne, Spanish Fort, you're in Fairhope, you know, let's say the western side of Baldwin County, that's got to be very appealing to you to head to Brookley. I'll say for folks like me, so I live near University of South Alabama. I'm torn on that. Now, if Brookley brings, like Chris said, these low-cost carriers in and they drop rates and I can get cheaper fares for my family and I to fly out of Brookley, well, forget it, I'm going. But right now where I live, I got to tell you, it's easier probably for, and it depends on the given day and what the traffic is and what, you know, Kane in the traffic department has told us, but it's probably easier, even with airport, for me to leave from where I live and go to Batesville. that's just easier versus Brooklyn. But then again, I live a lot further west than the majority. And I don't even know that's fair to say, though. The majority of neighborhoods in Mobile are probably closer to Bates, geographically closer. But, you know, what difference is it enough to make these changes for folks coming from Baldwin County? Well, it looks like it is. The report is out, and we'll try to, you know, I've got it in a printed form here in a PDF form. I'll try to get something broken down to where we can put some of these images and some of these graphs and stats up on our website where you can check them out. Which, by the way, speaking of the website, three big things today you need to know. President Trump announces the executive order to end family separations at the border. Mayor Stimson wants to tear down Ladd People's Stadium. And number one here, Mobile Regional Airport study released. Will they be moving? By the way, what you said on the online opinion poll question, right now it is wow. Wow. I don't know. With that volume of votes, I don't know that I've ever seen that happen before. The question is, do you support moving Mobile's airport to Brooklyn? Right now, 100% of y'all in the online opinion poll question say yes. Is that thing working? It's like usually, I mean, I could ask you if you think puppies are cute and the sun rises in the east, and I would be about probably 90-10%, you know, 90% yes, 10% no. Do you like Christmas morning? Would get me like a 90% yes, 10% no. But right now, 100% of people in our online opinion poll question saying they support moving Mobile's airport to Brooklyn. So interesting stuff. All right, we've got, you know what, I hate it, Kenneth, I do not have time to get your call. We got to wrap it up, and we'll do it again tomorrow. Not to worry, Mobile Morning's back on with this and so much more in headlines and sports and traffic starting at 6. Paul Feinbaum Show is on the way next. And remember, too, tonight, catch my buddy Cam Marston and What's Working. Another great show from him tonight at 6 o'clock right here on FM Talk 106.5.